Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Whole Foods Market recently announced that by 2018, all products in its U.S. and Canadian stores containing genetically modified organisms will be clearly labeled as such. The decision by the grocery chain, which has been labeling some products as non-GMO for years now, has pushed this strongly debated food labeling issue into the shopping aisle. The real action, though, is heating up in state legislatures across the country. Harvest Public Media's Abby Fentress-Swanson explains.
This is where the carcasses come in, right off the kill floor.
Swiss Meat and Sausage Company, just south of Herman, Missouri, processes 2 million pounds of meat a year, from cattle to hogs to buffalo to elk. In his blue hard hat and volunteer firefighter sweatshirt, Glenn Brandt is giving me a tour of the plant. He's worked here for 23 years.
This is our sausage kitchen. This is where we do all of the sausage making, tumble the hams and bacons, inject the hams. We
also In the plant's packaging room, Brandt and I climb up onto a slatted wooden case to examine a hefty roll of hickory smoked beef sausage labels. He rattles off some of the sticker's stipulations.
This is a label that has the no antibiotics added, raised without added hormones, all natural, minimally processed.
What the label does not indicate, however, is whether or not the sausage contains genetically modified organisms, or GMOs.
Non-GMO is such a gray area as far as labeling what you can say and what you can't say.
But that gray area is quickly becoming more colorful. Whole Foods says its decision to expand GMO labeling in its stores is a reaction to customer requests. And polls show that 90% of Americans want to know if their food is genetically engineered. Last year, a ballot initiative in California would have required labeling on products made from plants or animals with altered genetic material. Proposition 37 was narrowly voted down in November. Yet, the defeat has spurred action elsewhere. Laws and ballot initiatives for mandatory labeling have been proposed in more than 20 states, including Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana in the Midwest.
Over the past few years, we've seen more and more state legislation introduced, more and more ballot initiatives.
That's Emily Carroll, the Midwest Region Director of Food and Water Watch, a group that advocates for GMO food labeling.
And it's clear that we're reaching something of a tipping point. There really is this groundswell of support for labeling genetically engineered foods.
This is no small matter. Much of what's sold in the grocery store, from cornflakes to ice cream to hot dogs, contains GMOs because of the pervasiveness of genetically modified corn and soybeans. Food and Water Watch believes all GM foods should be labeled because they're largely untested and therefore could be unsafe. But Steve Taylor, president of the Missouri Agribusiness Association, which represents 400 state businesses, disagrees and cites the Food and Drug Administration.
The FDA says that they do not label because GM food's safe, and it's been that way for years now. And it's not just the FDA. The American Association of the Advancement of Science came out in support of no labeling of GMOs.
He says labeling would add significant costs for companies along the food chain.
But the really big cost is the misinformation to consumers. The fact of the matter is, I'll repeat one more time, these products are very safe. The consumers should not have any worries.
Could these laws even pass in the Midwest? Hank Greeley is the director of the Stanford Law School Center for Law and the Biosciences. He says he'd be surprised if GMO labeling laws passed in the agriculture-heavy Midwest.
Prop 37 in California had a really interesting geographical pattern. It won fairly heavily in the coastal counties without a lot of agriculture, and it lost overwhelmingly in the inland counties with a lot of agriculture. Based on that, I would think the Midwest would not be prime territory for GMO labeling legislation. But as I say, all politics is local and you never really know.
He says even if states do pass labeling laws, the Supreme Court could overturn them.
Well, I think the food companies and maybe some of the farming groups would immediately go to federal court and claim that these laws violated the constitutional rights of free speech of the companies who would be forced to put labels on.
In the meantime, U.S. Representatives Jared Polis of Colorado and Peter DeFazio of Oregon are expected to introduce a federal bill in the next few weeks that would require the labeling of genetically modified food. And that means this food labeling controversy may escalate from state-by-state skirmishes to one big national battle. Abby Fentress-Swanson, Harvest Public Media.
Now, not many of us are chemists, yet by removing one oxygen atom, people here in Missouri regularly are turning common decongestants like Sudafed and Claritin D into the illicit drug methamphetamine. Nationwide, those explosive mom-and-pop meth labs cost taxpayers more than $23 billion a year in healthcare costs, child endangerment, and cleanup. But as Maria Altman reports, a local pharmaceutical company may have the answer.
In a nondescript office building in suburban St. Louis, a little company was busy developing big technology, a binding agent to make a tamper-resistant drug. But exactly what drug Westport Pharmaceuticals would tackle was the question. Paul Hemmings is the general manager and vice president of the Highland Pharmaceuticals subsidiary. He says looking back, it was staring them in the face.
Our patent attorney, who also has a chemistry background, lives out in Pacific where this meth problem is huge. And one day she just mentioned, have you thought about this?
That is, how to prevent pseudoephedrine, a common ingredient in nasal decongestants, from being turned into methamphetamine. Zefrex D was the result. Hemmings pulls a sheet of waxy white pills out of the box. He says the new drug works just as well as other pseudoephedrine products, but meth cooks cannot extract the key ingredient, meaning they can't make meth. Last year alone, law enforcement seized more than 1,800 clandestine labs in Missouri, the most of any state in the country. Detective Sergeant Jason Grellner is with the Franklin County Narcotics Enforcement Unit. Grellner says he was skeptical of Zefrex D after years of being told by large pharmaceutical companies that a tamper-resistant drug couldn't be made. Now, he says, he's a believer.
They have manufactured a product that is meth lab resistant.
Grellner doesn't expect Big Pharma, as he calls it, to change their pseudoephedrine products, at least not yet. He says for now, the best way to keep the pills that can be converted out of criminals' hands is to make them prescription only. That faces strong opposition. State Representative Jeff Rorta has sponsored legislation for the statewide prescription law every year since 2005. The Democrat from Jefferson County says with Zefrex D, there's a good alternative available for cold and allergy sufferers, and there can be no more excuses. The impact of Zefrex D remains to be seen. Westport Pharmaceuticals officials say they're open to selling their binding technology to other drug makers. Right now, Zefrex D is only available in Missouri and the Metro East. Officials say they plan a national rollout this summer. I'm Maria Altman.
That's a wrap for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.